So as we contemplate on what we just heard, I would think that the Lord would exercise us in some way, trusting that we're not in that category of Hebrews 5, 11 through 14, dull of hearing. So if we have an acute sensitivity to what the Lord is saying to us, and the encouragement that this gives, we see how the cross is the answer. The cross is the God's provision to rule out anything in you and in me that would represent an obstruction to the Lord's prayer in John 17 to be answered. And so we can be very downcast and be very discouraged if you're living out of the old man. But if you're on the other side of the cross and resurrection, you could say, like he says, hallelujah, this is God's answer. We don't need to be in despair and be discouraged. It can help calibrate us to the practical outworking of the cross, so that what we're reading is becoming more and more a reality relationally in our various connections in the body bride of Christ. So anyone have any other thoughts or comments about what we just went through? Anything registering that the Lord would have you share? Okay, what were you saying, Addie? You said you think you like to read it again because it's kind of heavy.
Yeah, there's
just. I think that's wisdom. I read it again, you know, so that's good. I think that's an important reminder. I think as we do read it again, we sit before the Lord and ask Him to flush out anything in us that He sees. Well, I still have travail there. And I would like to see this come into alignment with my nature, my character, my name. Put my finger on that. We repent, deny ourselves, pick up our cross, and just follow the Lord, maybe in a new way. And so, we allow the scalpel of the cross to circumcise our hearts further. Yeah. Normal discipleship.
There's, you know, a lot I can comment on, but there's very little I want to, because it was a deeper revelation of the oneness of the body than I have ever had. And for years, you and I, Doug, have been committed with a tiny group of folks, you know, throughout the years I'm talking about, committed to this very thing. But it's the longer I go on with the Lord, the more I see how I've been in the way. And the Lord had some dealings with me this morning. And when I say that, that's not a negative thing. It's the work of the cross, and that was happening just this morning. And I, after reading this, I am even more desperate for Him to do a deeper work. I mean, if we really want to see John 17 fulfilled, we really want to see the Lord have what He wants. This cross, the mighty cross of Christ, where we really were crucified with Him and we were really buried with Him, that has to be in each of us. And the longer this article went on, the more powerful it became. The very end, where he talks about, it's not just gathering in the name. It's not just because you're Christians, you know, that where two or three are gathered in the name. In the name is the nature. And he means two or three crucified people. And I said, wow, then I have been holding up John 17. I'm responsible. Because if in this area, that area, I have not been walking in love, I have been seeing my brethren a particular way, standing in judgment, whatever my particular weaknesses are that always crop up, always, you know, I can count on that old man hasn't changed its spots. But that I'm responsible for that. I'm responsible for the lack of unity to the degree that I'm not living out from the new, because there's no way that we can walk together apart from Jesus Christ and his life. So I'm really impacted by this and want so much for the Lord to daily show me that cross that will bring me into that place where I can be a joint of supply and truly, you know, be a part, a living part of the church, you know. And I think somewhere, I was trying to find it, somewhere he said, God, when he was talking about picking up our cross daily, he said, God will see to it. You know, he will see to it. So that's what I experienced this morning, is I had no idea what the Lord was going to do. And I started reading this little pamphlet by Ron Marr that was an actual excerpt out of that wonderful book of his called A Christianity That Really Works. And Ron is so realistic and so unreligious and just says it like it is. And the Lord began doing something very deep where I just said, you know, I just can't stand myself, Lord. I just can't stand me. And then it was like, I can't do this. I cannot live Christ. And then it was like, that's where I want you, daughter. Yes, you can't. You can't. But then he brought Galatians 2:20, but I've been crucified with Christ. That I that I can't stand, to the degree it's here, manifesting, you know, I'm not living in the good of my crucifixion with Christ. So it's like, Lori, don't, you know, the Lord was saying, don't you sit there and weep over who you were. Don't weep over the old man. Get on, be done with it.
Come out of the tomb.
Come out of the tomb and live in joy in me. So I just, this really was exactly what I needed to hear today. And also to just say, Lord, I'm taking responsibility for any part I have in not allowing the unity of the Spirit to be here. And I know that that can be an ongoing thing, you know, depends on the state that we are in each time we meet together. Each one of us. So it's like I can't pick up the cross for anyone else. I can only pick up that cross for myself and make sure I'm on the right side of it. So, very deep, deep word from the Lord today.
Go ahead, Sal.
Hold it up here. Well, I have to get a hold of it first because you got it.
There you go.
Okay. I was really encouraged by this, actually, because this is something that we've prayed for such a long time. And I think even the last few years, not that I'm understanding, but the Lord brings in more and more. Of course, the deeper measure of the work of the cross, the more understanding he brings in of just the corporateness. And so I really appreciated the statement. He said, therefore, the fruit of the cross is not just individual salvation. You know, I think we all start there. I did. We start with the individual. But I think it's all, you know, it's all for me. But the fruit of the cross is the church. And so there has to be a deep, deep, deep work of the cross to even come into understanding this life isn't about me. It's about somebody else. It's not, I'm here for God's purpose. And him alone. And so I appreciated this, the emphasis of the fruit of the Spirit is it's a corporate thing. And so I appreciated that emphasis. You know. And so usually, as you know, whatever we go through individually, it's for something corporate as well. You know, less of me. And I've seen that here in the past few years is, you know, just moving here, thinking, Lord, why are these things still in our midst? And of course, he made me the issues because of the measure of Christ. lacking in me. And so as that began to become more and more conformed, then that began to see that there was more fruit corporately, and how then corporately we all came into a position of, no, we cannot tolerate certain things. We can't tolerate sin in our midst. We can't tolerate idolatry. We can't. And it's not, you know, our minds agree with it. My mind agreed with God. You know, like the Romans said, oh, I agree with you, Lord. But then just very utterly impossible to come to this corporately. And that's the cross. And that's what I see. And I kind of had to have a chuckle with this because I saw at the very beginning of Morningstar, the extremes that we all lived in, we including myself, or at the, you know, we have, a ministry can so easily produce individuals. And the tragedy is that so often these individuals, if you meet them, fall into one or two categories. Either they think they have something a little bit better than other people, therefore they can't help feeling a bit critical of other people, and other Christians can smell their critical spirit miles off and are so, not so interested, and so their testimony goes out. And I thought about, I mean, boy, you know, and I was sharing with the Bontragers just recently of just how where we started out and just, oh, the teaching. Got to hear Doug Riggs in the teaching. And so how many of us in our tremendous immaturity, we take that up and then, I mean, there were people that would just go exhort others and they had to come into this teaching of the cross. Wow, that was such a big stench because no one was living. And we're doing rituals
for pizza. You know, I'm talking about the cross and the stench of their old man was driving everybody away.
Yeah, right. Nobody would be identified with us, and then that actually compounded our spiritual pride. Well, they don't want to be identified with us because we're so spiritual.
I always shudder at the thought.
I know, and that was like so preposterous. Well, then enters SRADOD to show us how spiritual we really are.
Yeah, really.
You know, and it starts really, really, really testing us as an assembly. And so then it says, or on the other stream, and that was the testing. Oh, we're taking up the cross. You know, on the other stream, they are going through such a time because they are trying to go on with the Lord that they are nearly always under the weather. I mean, how many of us are like, oh, the cross. You know, woe is me.
We call that the Uriah Heep syndrome.
Yeah, just the morbidity then, and the death, the lack of joy, the lack of Christ. I mean, just a tremendous stench. And so I looked at this, I thought, wow, Lord, we've been through, we've been through such all these different pitfalls, the religiosity, yeah, and then go to one other, you go from one extreme to the other extreme, and then there's the lawlessness. Well, the heck with the law, I might as well just go out and kick up my heels and, you know, and so just because whatever it is, the Lord, it's impossible to bring us to the point. It's impossible. The Christian life is impossible, like Major Thomas says. But the element that he missed, and which this, you know, whatever the name is, brings in, it's not about the individual's salvation. It's about the church and about God's fruit of his travail. And so he said, even if you get quite a measure of spiritual life in a child of it as an isolated unit, they go on faithfully and seek to be true to the Lord, the weight of things proves too much for them. And the more real they are, the more the weight of it is on them. They are nearly crushed out of existence. And I think that that's the peril, because then it becomes an individual thing. And without that death fully working in us and the individual and saying, Lord, no. You know, we've been through here, through this over the last few years. Lord, no, this isn't about me. It's about your rights. It's about staying here for what you want. And this is totally out of my paradigm shift. See all these kinds of things that's here. But Lord, what do you want? What do you get? And so he continually brings me back. I mean, particularly this year has really thrown me. And like I shared, every time our dear sister goes in the hospital, it's like, you know, I think, oh, God, you're going to show her something. And this, he always, 100% of the time, comes back and he shows me. It's a deeper measure of the work of the cross now in me. It's not about somebody else. And so it's that deeper measure. Lord, what are you getting? And then it's not about me individually trying to do something again. It's about the fruit then in a corporate way. So as I'm learning, getting maybe a little wiser, instead of saying, Lord, go get that person, you know, because then he'll come back 100 times more towards me, is Lord, all right, the fruit of the cross is in a corporate way. It's not about me. It's about what is it you're doing in a greater corporate measure of that measure of Christ, of what it is that you're doing. And so it says that the Lord has another way. The Lord's way is the body. One life together, oneness, that they may be one. And I think even more so, even this year, it's like, Lord, you want to do something here in such a deeper measure of the cross, and it's impossible. You know, none of us naturally would have ever chosen to be in this configuration, or even here in Siberia. Especially with the winters, you know, we're more than happy to move south at this point. But it's not really been a choice, but it's whatever the Lord is seeking to do in a greater measure corporately. And I'm seeing more, the more that he brings in the cross, the more that there's something in a greater measure of Christ, and it's true joy. It's true joy. And that's something that he's doing, is not I but Christ, but Christ liveth in me. Lord, this is absolutely impossible. And that's how I've been praying even the last week or so. Lord, this is absolutely impossible. We can't even do this. And God in his faithfulness, he comes in. Doesn't mean I'm having the best time in the world. Doesn't mean that I'm filled with the Spirit 100% of the time. I'm kind of grumpy. So it just means the cross comes in a greater measure. And teaching to trust, God, you are really working in this situation. You really are. And trust that he's more after a oneness, a unity. And if he can have his work here with us and bringing in a unity, a oneness, God gets the glory. I certainly can't. Nobody has. It's God doing it. And then we can really rejoice in that.
Okay. Anything else? Just a little follow-up from the scripture. I've got many other thoughts, but I'll just leave them for another time. So, when you're born again, what does that mean in the context of what we just read? It means a lot of things. It means that when we're born again, that's when sanctification begins experientially. That's where it begins. And from salvation, the next step is 100% found out through Hebrews. And as Paul told, Jesus told Paul that you go preach, you be a light to the Gentiles, that they might receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance amongst those who are sanctified by faith in thee. So the inheritance is only for those that have a heart like Joshua and Caleb. If you have uncircumcised hearts like the children of Israel that died in the wilderness, you don't really care about the inheritance. You know, it's like Esau. He would sell his birthright for a bowl of beans. He was hungry, lentils. But if the inheritance means something to you, even though you might have Jacob as your nature, you'll do whatever, you do anything you can, even you know, try to cheat to get that. And of course, God had to deal with Jacob and take him to task, and there at the brook Jabbok. But in the book of Acts, we have a statement of Peter as he's speaking to the Jewish people that are gathered there and the proselytes. In Acts 2:39, he says, "For the promise is for you and your children, for all who are far off, and as many as the Lord our God shall call to himself." And verse 40 says, "And many other words he solemnly testified and kept on exhorting to them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. So then those who received his word were baptized, and they were added. That day, about 3,000 souls. See that little word, added? Well, added. Added to what? They're added to the church, right? Well, there's a juxtaposition of added in the book of Acts. And we're going to see. If you're added to the church, you're added to the Lord. And if you're added to the Lord, you're added to the church. They're one and the same. Now, if you're added to the Lord, can he ever be unadded? Only if you have false doctrine. You can't ever be unadded. Okay? You're added to the Lord, that's it. Bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. But notice, those who were believed and were baptized, they were added. Okay? Let's look at chapter 5, verse 12. And at the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were taking place among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's portico. That's Acts 5 and verse 12. Verse 13. But none of the rest desired to associate with them, or dared to associate with them. However, the people held them in high esteem. And all the more believers in the Lord, multitudes of men, women, were constantly added. Were constantly added. There it is again. Added. What do you mean by added? Well, the final interpretation comes from Acts 11. And so we see is it Barnabas? I think it is Barnabas. Yeah. The hand of the Lord in Acts chapter 11, the hand of the Lord, verse 21, was with them, and a large number who believed turned to the Lord. So what does it mean to turn to the Lord? Let's read on, verse 22. And news about them reached the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas off to Antioch. And then when he had come and witnessed the grace of God, he rejoiced and began to encourage them all with resolute heart to remain true to the Lord. Resolute means purpose of heart. Purpose, governed by purpose. David served the purpose of God in his own generation and before he died, Acts 13:36. For he was a good man, referring to Barnabas, he was a good man and full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and considerable numbers were added to the Lord. So there's your definition. That's what it means to be added. Now, added to the Lord, you think about that. Who is this Lord? The one in whom all the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily. Added to the Lord means you're now, Ephesians 5, a member of Christ, and corporately, members of one another. Members of Christ, living, organic members and extensions of Christ, the body of Christ. So there it says, in considerable numbers or multitudes, I don't know what your translation has says, were brought to the Lord, but the Greek is the same word that we saw in chapter 2 and chapter 5, added to the Lord. So that's just maybe some further thoughts on what we just read. So I would encourage you to read it again. And just ask the Lord to refresh and to enlarge and dilate whatever reason you may not have had ears to hear what the Spirit was saying. And that just means that sometimes we're still growing, and our maturity level means we can only hear a certain spectrum of the divine heart and mind. And as we go on with the Lord, that spectrum dilates and enlarges. Like it says in the prophet, the increase of your kingdom, Lord, there will be no end. So that increase is an ongoing work in our own lives through the cross. Right, Father, we thank you for this consideration and this tremendous exhortation, that which helps us to calibrate and to come out of the lower land, the shadow lands, into the fullness, more of the fullness of life in Christ, and that which represents your eternal purpose and calling in our lives. So we thank you, Father, for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.